Hey, I want to start off by polling the room here. I want to ask you a question, and this question by no means is me trying to gauge how spiritual and mature you are in your faith. So just a little disclosure before I ask this question. I want to ask, who here prays more when you're worried? Just by show of hands, okay. All right, okay, you can put your hand down. Now, who prays less when you're worried? Again, not judging anybody here. Very few, okay. Now, who doesn't know? It is kind of hard to gauge. Now, you might think it's funny, but for me, I have a tendency for worry to get in my way of praying. Can anybody relate to that? Am I the only one here? Yeah. Worry gets in the way of my prayer because I get stuck in my head thinking about all the different possibilities instead of going to God who has endless opportunity in my life. And because I'm not perfect, and neither are you, today we need to hear what it says in Philippians 4, 6 through 7. So if you would turn in your Bibles with me there, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7 is where we're going to be. And if you are a note taker this morning, our message is entitled, Prayer, the Antidote to Worry. Prayer, the Antidote to Worry. So the scriptures say this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, the first thing I want to point out this morning from our text is that prayer works better than worry. Look back at verse 6 with me. Verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So when Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, that word anxious there can also be translated as worry. And I want you to hear this about worry. Worry is giving too much of yourself, your thoughts, your emotion, your time to a particular concern. And this worry will eat away at us. It will take life from us. And where worry is the problem, prayer is the antidote. Notice here, Paul continues saying, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Okay, I want you to pause there. Prayer. That word prayer there, I need to define a couple of words before I keep moving. Prayer is just a way of saying you're talking to God. It's communication with God. And there's a particular word that comes up next there for a kind of prayer, which is supplication, or your Bible might say petition. And this is to make requests to God in order to experience the benefits of what God gives us. And this is something God actually tells us to do. God actually says to make our requests known to him. He actually tells us in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks will find, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. So rather than worry, Paul is telling us that in everything, we are to give our prayers and our request with thanksgiving, or to give them thankfully. Now, what does this look like? What does it look like to make our requests and to pray thankfully? Well, it's to be reminded of what God has done in the past, knowing that God will continue to do the same in the future, that God doesn't change. The scriptures tell us he doesn't shift, he doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we see an example of this kind of thankfulness in the New Testament Saint Zechariah when he was praying for a son. In Luke chapter 1, he's praying for a son, and God hears his prayers, and God sends an angel to Zechariah. And the angel says this in Luke 1:13. He says, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you shall call his name John. This is John the Baptist. Now, this is his request and has been met. And later on, we see this thankfulness with which Zechariah praises and prays to God with later on in Luke chapter 1. He says this, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." God answered Zechariah's prayer, and Zechariah continued to pray with thanksgiving, with this thankfulness. He made his request known and remembered God's goodness and continued to see God's goodness in his future days. Now we go back to Philippians 4, and the verse closes out, verse 6 closes out by saying, "Let your request be made known to God." So the scripture's saying, rather than worry, pray. And in your prayer, be reminded of God's past goodness to you and his future goodness that will come. And because of God's goodness, make those requests known to God by praying to God. Now, another word that we need to define here is request. Request is every individual thing we ask God for that make up the whole of our prayer. And I believe here that the request Paul is referring to is referring to things that are in our heart that we have not yet shared with God. Because we all know here that God knows our heart. But God is still calling us to make our request known. He wants us to pray. He wants us to petition him. He wants us to ask from him in order to receive his goodness. Look back what it says. Let your request be made known. There's things God desires to do in your life, but you have not received because you have not yet asked. James chapter 4 says this, "You do not have because you don't ask." So ask, seek him, petition him, request. God doesn't sleep. God doesn't get tired. He is always going to be there. He doesn't clock in or clock out. God is available at all times. I know this is super helpful for me in the middle of the night when I can't go back to sleep. God is available. And will hear our request and will answer us according to his goodness. Now, all this is to say that if worry is the problem, prayer is the antidote. Prayer is the antidote. And I want to pause here because I don't know about you, but when the stresses in my life hit me, I don't resort to prayer all the time. I resort to planning. A lot of times, I try to schedule my solutions to my problems. Or I try to make life go my way by fixing things. I thought about this the other day. When I first started teaching the Bible, I looked at it very logically. And I thought, well, this is what it says. This is what needs to be explained. And I had more of this kind of equation format. And it was very mechanical. But what I noticed is when I started to prepare by praying and asking God, God, what do you want me to say to those that you're going to bring that I get to speak to? He gave me insight. He gave me wisdom. He gave me clarity that I did not have on my own by my own logic. Now, I'm not saying logic is a bad thing. I'm saying it is limited because it comes from us. God is limitless. We are limited. And so we must ask him, seek him. And as a result of asking and seeking, God gave me greater clarity. And even my own teaching started to improve because I was seeking him and not just trusting myself. So prayer always works better than worry. And there's several different reasons why you might be prone to worry. And Paul doesn't try to get into that. But what he does is he cuts to the heart of it. And he says, let your request be made known to God. No matter what your background is, no matter what your parents were like, they could have had tons of rules. They could have had no rules. And yet God's saying, no matter how you're wired, no matter your experiences, make your request be made known to God because God knows it all. He is intimately acquainted with your life. He knows you and he knows your beginning from your end. He knows it all. And this is not a timid suggestion Paul gives to make our request to God. It's a strong encouragement that it's a good thing to make these requests to him. Now, I want to give you an illustration here. You may think it's silly, but I think it's helpful. Hold your hands up. Okay? Now, I want you to make a fist, both hands. When you have your hands closed, The symbolism is here that you have your hands closed off to God. And I want this to symbolize worry in your life. And here's what worry does. When we worry, we hold on to things on our own. When we worry, we rely on ourselves. When we worry, we are working with a lesser power. When we worry, we are closing ourselves off to the limitless God. Okay, now you can open your hands. But when you pray, you're releasing your worries to an unlimited God. When you pray, you're asking for something that you can't do on your own. When you pray, you're letting go of your limitations and opening yourself up to an unlimited God who has all power at his disposal. That's the end of that illustration there. You can lower your hands. Like, whew, didn't think I'd get work out of church here. Just a little side note, I was. This has nothing to do with the message here. But as I'm getting older, only 31, I realize the longer I have my hands above my head, the more tiring it is. Can anybody relate to that? Like you hit a certain age and you're like, man, I am weak. I can't even hold my hands above my head for a minute. Okay, I got to get back to this. So this leads us to our second part in the message this morning. The second thing I want you to hear is that prayer brings peace to guard us. Prayer brings peace. Look at verse 7. Philippians 4, 7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." Now, the first part of the message was a call to action. This second part is a result of praying to God in our worry. God has called us to action, and we also get to receive from the obedience that we got to live out. So prayer brings peace to guard us. Now, there's this visual that popped in my head the other day. And, you know, I always thought if I ask God for peace, I would get to enjoy this peace, this relaxing feeling, this overwhelming sense that he is near. And that is all true. But in this text, the peace of God which guards us is actually not a spiritual vacation you get to take. The peace that guards you is more like armor than it is flip-flops and a Hawaiian shirt. It's all symbolism here. I'm not hating on flip-flops and a Hawaiian shirt. Maybe I'll get one. But it's armor. It's armor that guards us, that protects us. Because whether you know it or not, you are constantly, as a Christian, being attacked by the flesh, being attacked by the world, or being attacked by Satan himself. And there's a writer who talks about this. He writes this article. His name's John Bloom. And there's this article he wrote for Desiring God called "Satan Will Sing You to Sleep." I'm going to read this. He says, "There is a satanic lullaby playing, even in churches across the West. Why else are we so lethargic in the midst of such relative freedom and unprecedented prosperity? Where is our collective Christian sense of urgency? Where are the tears over the perishing? Where is the groaning? Where is the fasting and prevailing intercession for those we love and those we live near and those we work with? Not to mention the unreached among the world who have no meaningful gospel witness among them." I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but this is the spiritual climate we live in. I think many of us have grown desensitized to all of the activities and all of the goodness we get to experience, so much so that we miss the spiritual warfare that is going on all around us all the time. And Paul says this about the peace that guards us. He says that it will surpass all of our understanding. I think one of the reasons we don't ask for this peace and beg of God for this peace is because we don't understand that we need this peace. I know I do it. I know I'm so preoccupied by all the things in this life, the things that I have to get done, the conversations that I have, the conversations that felt horrible that I had. I mean, I'm so distracted that I miss the enemy that's at hand. Ephesians 6 says this. In verse 12, it says, "We do not wrestle against the flesh and the blood." We don't wrestle against our neighbors, our coworkers, or our family, but against the rulers and the authorities, against the cosmic power over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now, what he's not saying is that he's not saying we don't have a hard time at work, because we do. And he's not saying that we don't have a difficult time with family members, because we do. But he's saying they're not the main enemy we need to fight. They're not the ones we need to attack. They're the ones we need to love and point to Christ who will change them. But there's a spiritual warfare that we always get desensitized to. And I said before, I'm guilty of that too. And we need this prayer. We need to ask God. We don't truly understand, and we miss out on the fact that we need the peace of God to guard our minds and our hearts. We need it. Now, verse 7 ends with these last three verses, and last three words. And I think if we miss these last three words, we are going to be forming our prayer around something that is not going to have power to change us. The last three words are, in Christ Jesus. If our prayers look right in every single way, and we form them to a God, a generic God, or we form them to the God of Islam, or we form them to the gods of Hinduism, or we form them to a version of Jesus Christ that Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses worship, this prayer is not going to get to the God of the Bible. Jesus Christ is the one in whom hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament were foretold about, that said, this is how he would be. This is how he would show up, and this is what he would do. And when he was born into the world miraculously, being born to a virgin named Mary. He lived a perfect life, never gave in to sin. He was tempted in every way, but he did not sin. And he rose, he died on a cross, literal death. There are many religions, including Islam, and others that believe Jesus didn't really die on a cross. He's just a good teacher. But the Bible says otherwise, that he literally did die, and he died for your sins as a sacrificial lamb to atone for it, to cover your sins. And he didn't just die, but he rose 3 days later, just like he told his disciples. And then he rose and showed himself to 500 plus people over 40 days. None of this would have been a figment of their imagination. It wasn't a blip that he was there and then he was gone. No, he actually hung out with people. He ate meals with people. He interacted with others. And then he gave them a mission to live for, and that's to make disciples of all nations. This is the Jesus of the Bible. And this is the one who exclusively makes this claim into heaven, that there is no other way into heaven except through him. He says in John 14:6, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one gets to the Father, into heaven, except through me. But not only is the way exclusive, but the way to prayer is exclusive as well. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the access point to which our prayers, our petitions, our thanksgiving, our request can be made known to God, and we can receive the peace of God which guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. He is the way. So what do we do with that? Well, it's simple. It's really simple. We must recognize our need for Jesus. We must recognize that we need him and then pray to him. That's what we must do. If we miss this, we miss the whole message. We need to pray. We need to pray with our family. We need to pray for and with our coworkers. We need to pray with our church. We need to pray tonight. We need to come here and gather together and pray and petition and request and ask God and be thankful for the things that he's answered. We need to seek him. There's a story I want to close with. There's a group for about 2 years that I've been a part of at Huff Hines Middle School, and that's their FCA group. It stands for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And since COVID hit, we have not been able to meet a single time, and this bothered me. And so one day, I drew up an email, sent it out to him, and in that email I said, hey, I miss seeing you guys. I miss seeing the leaders there. And I just want to get to, I want to get together and pray after school. And you don't have to do a single thing. Just show up. Let's share our request. Let's petition God. And we'll pray together that God would do a work on the campus of this school. And you know what? Because of doing something and not doing nothing, we're going to get to pray every single month for Huffines Middle School. So I share that to say, if right now you are waiting for the perfect time to pray, you are going to miss out on the endless opportunities that God can do among you. Don't wait for the perfect time to pray, because you will miss those endless opportunities. Right now, pray. Whatever you do, don't do nothing. God is accessible at all times and in all ways. And just like that example I gave you guys earlier, when we try to do it our own, we take things into our own limited hands. But when we give it to God through prayer, with Jesus, we have everything we need in this life and for the one to come. So like we always do on Sunday mornings, we want to give you a chance to respond to the truth of God's word. So, band, if you would join me on stage, we're going to enter into a time of response. And this is a moment for you to say, look, I don't know Jesus personally as my Lord and Savior, and I want to make him that. I know I've attended church for so long, and I know the facts about God, but I don't know God personally as my Lord and Savior. And this is an opportunity to say to one of our ministers that will be down here, hey, I want to give my life to Jesus and I want to be saved. If you're already a believer and you have something that's burdening you, we would love to pray with you. We would love to meet those needs and pray and petition and request those things to God. And if you're at home watching online, there's going to be a number that's going to be at the bottom of the screen. And you can text that number and connect with us. We would love to know how we can point you to Christ and show you that he provides all good things for you. So with those things being said, I'm going to pray for us. Our ministers will be down front. We would love to join with you in prayer and see what God is doing in your life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, my simple prayer is that you would cause us to do something for you, and we would not do nothing. Lord, we know that this is only a possibility because of what you have first done in loving us. Because you pursued us even while we were enemies, Christ, you died for me. And you don't stop loving. Your word says not a single, no one can snatch you. Not a single person, not a single demonic force, not a single power out there can snatch us from your hand, Jesus. And we are secure in you forever. Lord, do something in us that causes us to move, that causes us to respond. Help us to not do nothing. We love you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name.